Lord, I thank you for your presence in our lives, and Lord, for your promises. God, I pray today now that for these requests that have been made, and Lord, I pray for Jamie Baker's mom now as she's in rehab, recovering from a stroke, and Lord, I pray you'll help that to go well. I pray you'll strengthen her body, Lord, and help her to regain everything that was lost because of the stroke, if it be thy will. Lord, I also pray for the Green family and their loss, Lord. I do know that this is a hard thing to go through, Lord. And Lord, I just pray you'll lift them up and comfort them and fill that void that's now in their life, God, with your presence and your spirit. And I pray that your will be done and the Lord will be glorified through this time and through this situation. Lord, also I pray for Sahab Spears and, Lord, for his situation there with the ruptured colon. And, Lord, certainly that's a serious thing, and I pray, God, that you'll touch his body and give the doctors wisdom on how to treat him and get him back to health. Lord, I also pray for Lakin, one of our young people here at the church, Lord, that you'll watch over her, give her traveling mercies, and keep her safe as she comes home from Poland. And, Lord, I pray that you'll bless the work that she did there. Lord, I pray this morning as we study this lesson, Lord, you know that I'm not fit, I'm not able to stand in my own strength and teach anything worthwhile. But, Lord, I depend on you this morning. I ask you for your help. And God, I pray that your will be done. Lord, be with Brother Gary and his family as they're away, and I pray you'll give them a great time of rest and relaxation, and, Lord, re-energize them as they come back to us soon. And, Lord, I thank you for his teaching. I thank you for the ability that you've given him to help us to learn about your word and about what you'd have for us. Lord, bless this time together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 12, please. Now, I, if you've been here very long, you know that Brother Gary likes to make comments about my love for fishing. And I would like to take this opportunity to talk about golf. And thank you, David. And I used to play golf, and when I got saved, I quit. No, I'm just kidding. And that's partly true, but and I want to tell you why, because, you know, it's supposed to be for relaxation and fun and all this stuff. Well, I've got a whole set of little short clubs that I had to discipline against the ground or against a tree or something like that, that tells me that that's not really what golf's all about. So it was not a help for me. And but Brother Gary knows I'm kidding, but I'm serious when I tell you that we are blessed to have a great Bible teacher in this class. And I'm telling you, I have grown from his teaching. I'm not near where I should be, but I have certainly grown, and I hope that I've grown from studying this lesson this week. And because I really needed it, and it really helped me. And I hope that it will continue to help me. But that's my choice. That's my choice. But I want to ask you a couple of questions today, and you can raise your hands or whatever, or you can stand up and tell us your darkest secret if you want to do that. You know, when I taught the college and career class, the new group would always come in, and I'd tell them, you know, the first Sunday we like for them to get things, you know, just go ahead and get things off their chest and stand up and tell us the worst sin they'd ever committed. And I only had one student that was really going to do that, and I had to stop her because I was afraid she was going to tell something we didn't want to hear. But anyway, today I want to ask you, do any of you guys set goals in your life? Yes or no? Well, I think most people do, and if you're like me, I make a lot of lists. I'm always making a list on paper so I don't forget something, so I don't leave something out, and I know what I'm supposed to go to next and try to get all these goals accomplished. Now, what today is the most important goal for a Christian? As a Christian, we need to set some goals in our life, but what's the most important? What would be at the top of the list? I'm sorry? Glorifying God. And how do we do that? Well, I'll go ahead and answer it, because This is what someone, Miss Lashley, said to me this week in our conversation, but it's to know and do the perfect will of God. And if I want my life and you want your life to glorify God, then we must do and be willing to do His will, what He asks of us. Now, I know we've got a great church and all this kind of stuff, but I'm the first to tell you that I'm not somebody that always does God's will. I fail. And where I fail most of the time is when I don't check it out to see what it really is. So there's no way I can accomplish something I have no idea of what it's supposed to be. And so I miss that a lot of time. But the most important thing is for us to find that will, seek God's will, accept it, and be willing to carry it out in our lives. Now, I've got several scriptures today that the Lord's laid on my heart when I started studying this, and I always get up on Sunday morning. I get up every morning really early, but I got up this morning. Like when I teach on Sunday mornings, I like to get up, and I type my notes then. So it's fresh on my mind, and it helps me restudy the lesson. And I hope today that the things that we share with you, that it will be a help to you. Excuse me, it'll mean something to you as we go forward, you know, from here. But I've got three short and simple points in this lesson, but it may take me a couple of hours to get them across. Not because you're stupid, because I'm not very good at getting them across, okay? Well, I said that bad, didn't I? But anyway, this lesson is based on the scripture we find in Romans chapter 12 and also Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, and I want to read that verse to you to start with. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by his wife. Oh, wait. I was already out of the will of God when I was typing my notes. I'm sorry, I was just kidding. But anyway, that's from the new uninspired version. But the Bible does say, in the King James Version, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So that tells me right off the bat that God's got a plan for me and that I need to be ready to see what that is. And I wonder today how many in here, as we sit there, are you in the center of God's will today? Now, I can tell you sometimes if I were sitting in your place, somebody would ask me that, I would probably have to say no many, many times, because I think I've got a handle on things. I'm a mature adult. Not really, but I like to think I am. So you know, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. That's not always the case. Not always the case. And we'll find that out in the scriptures today. But as we go through life, the steps that we take as Christians, which include things that we do on our job, things in the church, friends we have, how we raise our children, how we raise our grandchildren sometimes, the entertainment that we have, the finances that we have in our life, and the decisions we make toward our finances, and many other areas, there's things like that that we need God's help with. And many times we make those decisions based on our knowledge that we have as a human being. And today I want to share three points with you about doing the will of God and how important it is in our life. And the first part I want to talk about is recognizing the importance of God's will in your life. And, you know, I thought that I would know all this, and I realized I didn't. I realized that I needed to learn and I could do a lot better. But, you know, the Bible tells us that we don't belong to ourselves. We're a purchased possession. The Lord owns us. Now, if you go to the store and you buy something for yourself, what do you do with that? You do whatever you want to do, right? You buy it for a purpose to make your life better, easier, or to accomplish something, and you couldn't do without it. So you have a plan for it. If you don't, I'm not sure why you would buy something like that, but that's the basic reason we go and we make purchases like that. Well, God owns us. If you're His child, He owns you, and He has a right to do with us as He wills. And, you know, sometimes I find myself taking away that right because I just lean on my own understanding, on the things that I think I've already known. I'm 61 years old. Surely I've learned something by now. So I think I know enough, but I found out I don't. So we've made this purchase, and God has made a purchase. He paid an extremely high price for our salvation. Extremely high price. So that tells you the value He puts on us. And things that I really care about, I care about how they're used. I mean, I do construction work sometimes, and I enjoy my tools. I love my tools. And I expect the people that work for me to love my tools. And I want them to take care of them, put them back where they go, don't put them up, you know, dirty and nasty and stuff like that. And it's because they're of value to me. Because I've tried to buy good tools, and sometimes they cost a little more. Nothing costs more than our salvation. Nothing. God paid the highest price. Proverbs 20:24 says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man understand his own way? Well, that's a question we find in Proverbs, and the answer is we really can't. We really can't because we don't know the future. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's going to happen when we leave here today that may dramatically change our life. And it could be anything. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So I see this and I realize it's important for me to have God's will because I'm not capable of making those decisions for myself to live a life that really and truly honors God. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm going to say something that, you know, one of these days, I'm afraid I'll look back and I'm going to say I made all these decisions that I felt were right, but in reality, I really, really missed the very best that God had for me because I was willing to settle for the good stuff, the acceptable stuff, and I shunned the perfect stuff that God had for me. And I don't want to do that, but I fear that that may be the case for me someday. And I hope that going forward, I won't have to testify to that. But God has a specific will also for his children. Romans 12, verse 2 here. That's where we're at in the Bible. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word prove here means for us to demonstrate the truth in what we say and do. If we're going to prove God's will in our life, we have to live it out. We have to be able to demonstrate that. And so just for me to know and have knowledge of what God wants me to do, but yet not accomplish that, it's worthless to me. There's no value in that for God and for His glory. And I recognize today as I studied this lesson that a lot of my problems stem from the fact that I love to do things my way. I don't know if any of y'all would be like that, but I love doing things my way. And also, I don't like to be told what to do. I don't like that. That happens sometimes. And so the first few months that we came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Sandy drove because I didn't like for her telling me how to drive. And then I realized one day I better start driving a little bit because people think I've got a DUI or something. I've lost my license. So I had to start driving again and suffer the persecution. But anyway, we do need to realize that, you know, things can't be our way all the time. But they can be God's way all the time. And they should be God's way all the time. And if we'll do that, our lives will be profitable. They'll be successful. Maybe not the way the world measures it. But let me ask you something. What do you desire in your life more than anything right now? And we can think about that, and sometimes that'll tell me where I'm at concerning the will of God. And one thing I learned that I desire greatly is God's presence. Because let me tell you, sometimes life stinks. Sometimes things go bad. Probably everybody in here has experienced death in their family. (Clears throat) And that's something that we realize, those times, what really matters. When you read that when somebody, one of your friends or somebody you maybe weren't aware of, has passed away in the newspaper, what do you think? One of the first things I think, I wonder if they were saved. And you read on down and just say, they were of the Baptist faith, or they were this, or they were that. I always read that because it's important to me then. It ought to be important to me now and before it comes to that point. But we've all experienced probably death and other things and hardships in our life, and so we have to, one of the most precious things during those times especially is God's presence. And I just tell you, I don't want to live without it. And everybody's, but sometimes I do. But God's not leaving me. I just walk away because I want to do it my way. I want to do my own thing. You know, Jesus gave us a couple examples in his word of how we should ask the Father, our Heavenly Father, about his will. He said in John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father that sent me. Whose will is most important to us today? Well, the way we live, the way we respond, our attitudes, all that reflects whose will is most important. And Jesus also, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for his Father's will. Matthew 26:39 says, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, wanted to do his Father's will. And he is our Savior. He gave his life for us. Why would we not want to do his will? And we'll talk about why we should in just a few minutes. But we recognize, I hope, through these scriptures, our need, our great need, to know God's will. To have him have that plan for us and not us making it for ourselves all the time. In Acts chapter 9, where we find an account of Paul's conversion, when Paul got saved and the Lord met him on the way, road to Damascus, Paul asked the Lord two questions. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And then he became a Christian, and we know what that's like as if you've been born again. And then he says, and this is what happened to Paul. It says, and he trembling and astonished said. And Paul was a guy, you know, he had persecuted the Christians. He was not the type of man, even after he got saved, especially, that you would think would be afraid. But it said, trembling, excuse me, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, I just wonder today if how many times I should have asked that question, and I just decided that I already had the answer. And I'm telling you, I've spent money. I've made housing decisions, I've made family decisions, and I've made all kinds of decisions based on the knowledge that I have. And you know what? My knowledge might not be considered this way by everybody, but it would be normal or natural, what I would naturally do. But God has a supernatural thing, answer. Many times he is a supernatural God, and he can do things that are far beyond what we can even imagine or what we can think. But the same question we ought to ask ourselves, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now, I'm telling you today, there are people depending on you and I to do the right thing, to do God's will. There are souls depending on that. And if I'm not willing to do that, that's a loss to me. And maybe an even greater loss to somebody else. Our families are depending on us to do what God wants us to do. Who else sometimes will they look to? You know, if there's problems in the workplace sometimes with a coworker and they have an issue in their life and they're not saved, who do they go to? Somebody that they know or at least believe knows God. Somebody that can get a hold of God for them. Somebody that can help them in that way. But we need to know because the Lord, he knows our future. And he knows the answers, and he has them for us. Psalms 1:6 says, For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I have recognized again, that word recognize, because sometimes things are right in front of you and you just don't recognize it. Sometimes I'm looking for my glasses and I've already got them on, you know, stuff like that. But you know that we can see things through the Lord's eyes. He helps us. He shows us, because he already knows what's out there, and we don't know. And we have limited ability, limited knowledge, and the inability to see the future. So what, except maybe what God has already revealed to us in his word. We need God's will in our life. And until I recognize that fact, I'm going to continue to do it my way. And I'm going to continue to mess up. And I'm going to have that day when I look back and say, oh my, what God had for me and what I accepted. It wasn't much of a deal. I really messed up. But after we recognize the importance of God's will for us, we also need to realize the impact of God's will on our lives. God's will changes things in every life. Obeying the Word of God and living in his will without question is a blessing and will bring blessing in our lives. Now, and again, not the way necessarily that the world measures it all the time. I remember that one of the times that I really believed that our family was in God's will. And I say that because sometimes, like I said, we're not. We miss it. Sometimes we don't look for it. I'm guilty. But I remember when Sandy had cancer and we had to go to Vanderbilt and they were going to do the stem cell transplant and we had all these testing done and stuff like this. And they gave us the opportunity. We had three choices to begin with. And I just tell you, I didn't like any of them, obviously, but she had to have a stem cell transplant, and they do one where they use your own stem cells, which is by far the easiest. It's a 30-day thing. But when they told us about it, you leave home for 30 days and move to Nashville, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go. But I knew that was one of the answers. The other one is finish out the treatment as it is and, you know, let whatever happens, happen. Just, you know, go on. And if it comes back, if it doesn't come back, whatever. And or the other option was to do a stem cell transplant with an unrelated donor, which is much more involved and difficult and requires 5 months away from home and a lot of things that are not pleasant. And they gave me a book to read about this situation and stuff like that as a caregiver, because she had to have a 24/7 caregiver, and they gave me this book, and I read about three chapters. And I had to put it down. I said, I can't do this. I'm not going to read this stuff. I cannot do this. And in my heart, and I've told Sandy this, I didn't want to do anything else. I said, let's finish what we're doing and see what happens. That was my decision. But it wasn't really my decision to make. And somehow the Lord impressed upon me to pray about it more. Check it out more. See what he had. And lo and behold, he gave us what I considered to be the hardest path. The unrelated donor. It was longer. It was more difficult. It was harder for her by far. And I didn't want to do it. But that's the path that the Lord gave us, because I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Please tell me. And I ought to be doing that with every decision in my life. But I wouldn't do that. I won't do that. And I don't know why. It's foolish. It's not very smart. But anyway, the Lord, we prayed about it, and you know, in just a week or two, God closed all the other doors except one. And those were not options any longer. And I praise him for that today. And it taught me that God can help me, and he wants to help me, and he has a plan already. And if I can't figure it out by myself, most of the time I don't know enough to figure it out, but he is willing to He wants to. He's already done it. All I've got to do is accept it and get after it and get after it. But I thank Him for His will and what He's done. And, you know, many times we have to realize that God's will now in that situation impacted our lives greatly, greatly. Now, that's no promise about the future, that her cancer will never come back or anything. It's no promise like that. But for that time, that was God's will for our life. And I remember how Brother Gary has taught in the last few months about Elijah and all he went through. Step by step, God led him to the brook Cherith, and then he led him to the widow, and then beyond, and stuff like that. And all that he did, if he hadn't trusted God, if he hadn't decided to accept and do God's will, if he hadn't known God's will, where would he have ended up? What kind of example would he have been to us then? It would have been hard to use him, maybe. God might not have used him in his book to teach us that it's profitable, it's beneficial, it's worth it to do God's will. And money can't buy those kind of things. Money can't buy joy and peace and things like that that God has for us who are willing to give ourselves to do what He wants us to do. But obeying God's will and to enjoy His blessing is one of the greatest decisions that we can ever make in our life. And we have to make that decision every day. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, I've got a book at home that talks about the testimonies of dying saints and sinners. And some of that stuff I've read is amazing how people, you know, even in death, their joy was in the Lord. Their joy was still evident. I remember going to see Brother Joe Taylor before he passed away and talking with him. And he didn't want to talk about his problems. That's not this thing. I thought Gary sent me a message here. But anyway, his joy was not in his disease, but his disease did not take away his joy either. His joy was in the Lord and what God had done for him and what He was doing through him even at that time. And it was an inspiration to talk to somebody like that. And it's proof. He's proving God's will. He's proving how great God's will is for your life. And he shared with me what he thought the Lord had for him to do about passing out the tracts and all this kind of stuff and how he did that. And you know what? That's where that joy came from. He knew he had accomplished his purpose here on earth. And if you and I are going to accomplish our purpose here on earth that God has for us, we've got to do it His way. It can't be my way. But how important is the Word of God to our being in the will of God? It's immeasurably essential. That word's almost too big for me to say. But we need the Word of God every day. And Brother Gary talks about this almost weekly. You can't get there as a Christian without the instruction. And we've got to have God's instruction. And this is His instruction manual to us. What are we going to do without it? Well, we don't really know. We don't really know. But it's great to know that and to realize the impact of God's will and what it can have on our lives. And we can do this. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times, you know, I've said, I can't do that. And that's why I thought at the beginning of the week when Brother Gary said he asked me to teach. I hadn't taught in a long time, not in here or any other class that much, just occasionally. And so you kind of get out of the norm, and I thought, And I immediately said yes when he asked. And then I wish I'd said, no, I can't because of this or that. Well, I tell you what, I would have really missed a blessing and a lesson for myself if I had said no. But anyway, 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given us into all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto his glory and virtue. You know, the Lord has everything that you and I need to accomplish his will. Now, he's already got it, and he's got it for me, and he's got it for you. And we don't have to worry about being able to do or not being able to do. We don't have to worry about, do we have enough time? Do we have enough money? Do we have enough this or that? All that is in God's hands, and if we'll put ours in his hands, he will use it and multiply it for his glory, and he will make it much easier for us to accomplish his will instead of fighting him every step of the way when, you know, we know that the end is bad when we reject God's plan. It's always bad. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been out, get out in the dark very much, and I fish at night sometimes, and I probably shouldn't say that in Sunday school. Gary's probably watching, but anyway, I do, and you know, sometimes I run up and down the lake, and sometimes I may, I don't always see where I'm going. I've got a GPS. I don't just go blindly, but I've got a GPS, and but you know, I have to have something to direct me, and I don't always see what's in front of me, but I have to trust that GPS. There's a place on Watauga Lake that you can come down through at night, and if there's no moon, when you enter this section of the lake, the mountains are pretty high, and they come in close, and it's dark. I mean, you can't see anything. You've got to trust something. If you're going to go down through there, you've got to trust something. And that's the way our lives are. We have a path that we're taking, and God's Word lights that path for us. And you know what? And if we refuse to accept that light, we're walking into a dark place. And what happens when you do that? It's easy to fall. It's easy to stumble. We went running, when I was in high school, me and some other boys, we went running through some yards one night in Colonial Heights, and we were going to roll some yards. And one of my friends tripped over a little wire in the ground that was around some little flowers in a yard. And he fell, and the stake went in through his eye right here, and he had triple vision for years. And it took him years to get over the surgeries or get through the surgeries to fix it. That's the danger of running in the dark. And that's what we do when we just decide that God's Word is not important enough for us to spend the time in so we can be directed. We've got to trust something. We are, and I certainly don't want it to be myself, because I've proved that I can't do that. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Isaiah said in chapter 30, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. Then ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." And Proverbs 15:19 says, "The way of a slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." Wow. Now, you know, today I can have confidence in the Word of God that every decision I make, if it's God's will, it'll be right. I can't say that any other way. No other way can I say that. And I'm thankful for what the Lord is willing to do for us. Now, I want to get to the last part here. I want us to recognize how important God's will is to each of us. And then I want us to realize the impact that it has on our lives. It changes everything. It changes everything when we rely on God's will and his leadership to bring us through life. And then I say, the last point is, how will I respond to God's will? Well, I ask the question, will I present my life? Romans chapter 12, again, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Paul's begging us. Here's what God wants you to do. "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." He's not asking more of us than we can do. God just wants to get all out of us that's there. And that's the reason he wants to guide us, because he's the only one that can get that out of us. But he tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And I had a lot of things I could say about that, but we know what that means, to be conformed to this world, because the world we live in is chaotic at best, it seems. And if we're going to be conformed to that world, and if that's going to govern our lives are going to be chaotic. I can't survive in that. Sometimes I can't even watch the news anymore. And read the paper. It's all bad. But you read the Word of God, that changes things. It changes what we got to look forward to. But will I present my life? Will I practice His will? And that's where we can conform ourselves. That's how we practice. We conform ourselves, not to the world, but to the image that we were created in, to be like Christ, to be like Jesus. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A very familiar verse. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Now that covers everything that we need to know right now about God's will. Trust Him. Acknowledge Him. And allow Him to lead us wherever we need to go. And then, so will I practice His will? Will I present my life? Will I prove His will in my life? Miss Lashley said to me this week, the statement she made, and I can't remember the whole context, but she said that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. And she said to me, she said, "How are you going to beat that?" And that's why I ask you today, how are you going to beat that? I don't know. I don't believe you can. I know I can't. And you know, like I've said, there's many times that I have not been everything God wanted me to be. I've not been in the center of God's will. But I can also tell you that the times that I can recall to my life right now, when I knew that I was, they were glorious times. There was victory in my heart, even though the circumstances were not the greatest. They weren't what I wanted them to be. But just to know that He was there and that I was relying completely on Him, because I knew I didn't have enough intelligence, I didn't have enough money, I didn't have enough of anything to take care of my situation. I was willing to rely on His will and His word and His way. And when I did that, it was a glorious time. Now, I guess the concern is, then why am I not there all the time? I don't know about that. I can tell you that. Why I'm not, because I'm lacking. I'm lacking. I can do better. I should do better. And God expects me to do better. Now, I think it's about time to go, but the only question I got for you today, are you willing? I've asked myself this week, are you willing? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time today. And Lord, I thank You for this lesson, what it has meant to me. And Lord, I pray that it will help someone today. Again, Lord, we ask You to watch old Brother Gary and his family and bring them back safely. And God, I just pray that You'll help each one of us to have a desire to recognize the need for Your will and to realize the impact that it can have on our life as well as others. And God, help us to respond in the way that You'd have us to. May the Holy Spirit lead us to do Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.